So I found it funny just now, Matthew. I was playing one of the cheapest games available for the Xbox 360. Well, you were playing one of the most expensive games available for the Game Boy Advance.
FIFA and Invader?
Find out on Tom Matt Attack.
Yeah, despite the money, I'm lost for words already. This is a great start to a podcast. The amount that the game I was playing costs, there are actually more expensive Game Boy Advance games.
The funny thing I think about just then when we were both playing these respective games was I was having a lot of fun with what I was playing, and I think you were having a lot of fun with what you were playing as well.
I was having a whale of a time, and yeah. I was actually ready to come on this podcast and slag that game off as the most overrated thing I'd ever played.
One of them cost a couple of quid, and one of them cost a little bit more than
cost a couple of quid. It didn't cost anywhere near what eBay is asking for it, which is nice.
I think when it comes to buying retro games that are reasonably expensive, I have a limit.
Yeah.
I have a limit. I don't think I've ever spent more than 60 quid.
Neither do I. Did Triple cost me more than 60 quid?
Oh, what? Come on. It's got to have done.
I can't remember what 80 euro was at the time.
I think Triple probably cost me more than 60 quid.
Let me Google what 80 euro is now.
You weren't playing Triple, were you, just then?
I was not, no. I was playing the wonderful Ninja Cop.
Ninja Cop, otherwise known as Ninja 5-0.
Yes, a Konami release. Yeah, okay. 80 euro at present is 68 quid. So,
Just over. But at least we have limits.
Yeah, that's the most expensive. Like, I was offered a copy of Resident Evil Gaiden, which is the Resident Evil game for the Game Boy Color, for 120 quid. And I was like, nah, you're all right.
Nah. You've got to draw a line somewhere.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't want to pay that
much for
much
a video game,
especially for a fucking cardboard box that like increases the value by like four times. So it goes, Tom. But Ninja Cop, I'd like to say that my hand was pushed. It is a game that I've been eyeing up for a very, very long time, because undoubtedly anyone who follows any video gaming YouTuber who has done a Hidden Gems video in the last 7 years has undoubtedly mentioned both Astro Boy and Ninja 5-0. So,
have they? I don't know. I don't know if it's ever been mentioned on a certain channel.
Yeah, do you don't think so?
Well, no, I can't recall.
It's because that certain channel doesn't know what the fuck Final Fight is, Tom. I'm going to not plug that channel because that has made me lose every ounce of respect for that particular YouTuber.
And out of respect, we're not going to say anything.
Exactly.
I would say I still quite enjoy watching the videos on that particular channel.
I despair. Anyways, so this game was one that I'd been eyeing up for a while. I'd never really seen it quite cheap anywhere. And I was like, well, maybe one day I'll be lucky enough to come across it. Game Boy Advance hasn't really got the same market that, say, Game Boy or Game Boy Color even has in Europe, from what I've seen price-wise. Like, the rarer games for those systems are starting to creep up. Mm-hmm. But this has always been a pretty expensive game. Even when I remember looking for it about 4 or 5 years ago, it was about the £130-140 mark for a box copy.
I also remember looking for it a fair few years ago now after reading an article about it on Hardcore Gaming 101, I think. Yeah.
I was just skimming that very article. and you can vouch that it's always been a pretty expensive game, right?
Yeah. So much so I didn't buy it at the time.
And
but I can't remember it being that much.
It wasn't that much. And to be honest, it's gone up. It's more now than what I paid for it anyway. I paid, I think it was around 60 euro, maybe. I can't quite remember. But I snapped it up purely because it was mentioned on Nintendo Life, a very good Nintendo gaming website, that I happened to go on. And then of Twitter took to bitching and moaning at members of staff on that website going, why are you keep mentioning these really rare games because then they only go up in value? To which I responded, fuck, better buy that. So I did.
Because there
was a copy there. And I mean, I've been bitten by this before. I've been bitten by Resident Evil Gaiden, to name one game that I could have had boxed about 3 years ago for about 20 quid, but I thought, oh, fuck it, I'm not collecting Game Boy Color yet. No. So that was one that bit me in the ass. Shantae bit me in the ass. Could have got that game for 40 quid about 5 years ago. It's now like £300-400 for a box copy.
You wouldn't, would you?
Trip World, also one of these games that was like 100 quid for a box copy about 5 or 6 years ago when I first came aware of it. Now about a grand for a box copy. So, yeah. Game Boy collecting Thomas Parry has gone through the roof and is absolutely doing my head in because I need like 20 cartridges and they're slowly, slowly going up in value. But I'm so close to it now that I'm just like, oh, fuck it. I'll get them eventually. But who can say when? I'm in no rush.
But the game.
I have other vices.
The game that you bought.
Yeah, the game that I bought.
Yes, Ninja Cop.
I put it in yesterday. I went to a flea market and I picked up a load of other Game Boy and Game Boy Advance stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute. And this one arrived in the post. Fortunately, I arrived at the post office the day after they put the little slip in my door saying, hey, come collect it from the post office. Because there'd been an error on their part. And they had 10 minutes before I'd arrived, marked it to be sent back to the original sender. Which was an error on their part. And then they were like, okay, we're going to have to recheck all of these packages we're going to send back because there's been an error in our system telling us which ones.
That's slightly worrying, isn't it?
So if I hadn't arrived there, I would not have had the pleasure of playing this yesterday and would have probably not...
wait a while.
Well, I probably wouldn't have got it, would I? Let's be honest. If they sent it back to the sender, there was... It's not their part to pay the postage to send it back to me.
Nah, but at least I'd imagine you'd get it.
I don't know.
You might have to pay for the postage again. But,
yeah, we'd see. But fortunately, I did go and I got it. I picked it up. I didn't really have that much chance to play it yesterday because I was going through all of the games I picked up just to check they were working and cleaning the contacts and all this kind of stuff. But I played the first level of it and I was like, well, was that it? Is it really just that close to Shinobi? I didn't really pick up on a lot of the nuances of the game and just kind of put it down and ended up playing Lady Sia, which I'll talk about next. But fortunately, I brought it over because I was like, well, maybe you will want to have a go. And I was going to say, well, I think this is a pretty overrated game and I'm showing it to you. And then I realised that because I've been playing Game Boy games for the last 3 bloody years, pretty much on my Game Boy Advance, I keep forgetting that these things called the L and R buttons that actually work with Game Boy Advance games. And so I was stuck on the first level and I was like, oh, this is fucking terrible. This is so vague, blah, 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 blah. But no, you've actually just got a short sword on your R button, and you can use the left button to look around the map and plan ahead. So,
which is quite unique.
It is. It's pretty good. Yeah. But there's a lot of, from what I played in the first world stage, whatever you want to call it, it's a series of 4 levels and a boss fight at the end, you have to rescue hostages. So you need to kind of plan your way up this building and... by using your shuriken, it'll take like 3 kills to kill an enemy, or using your blade on the R button, you can kill them in one stroke. However, if you shoot the hostage, they die in one hit and you fail the mission. So it's all about like being a bit stealthy and a bit sneaky and a bit quick.
Do you know why the shuriken was green?
No idea, I guess.
Like a slime shuriken.
I don't think it is. It's just a choice.
Which shows up, probably.
But you start with a green shuriken, as you mentioned. Then when you kill certain enemies, these lightning bolts drop on the ground and they power you up, and there's 3 levels of power-up. Much like Shinobi, from what I remember, right? Isn't there like an incremental mechanic in your power-ups in that game? I could be wrong.
The original?
Revenge.
Yeah, I think Revenge has got something like that, but I've played more of the first one.
I've only really played Revenge, to be honest with you, because I never really had any Sega consoles growing up until I got a Mega Drive. But... I was doing that. That was pretty fun. You level up. You get a fireball. There's like a burst fireball on the second one. And then the third one is just this kind of piercing Kamehameha bolt thing. It just like kills anything it hits through, which is kind of satisfying. Big bosses seem pretty tough, pretty challenging. 3 levels difficulty it saves. Only seems to be 3 worlds at the moment. So my only qualm might be that this game might be a little short for what you're paying for it. But... the difficulty is incremental, so I could see that whoever had beaten this game before me had beaten easy, and then there was normal, and then there was hard, and I think you...
Well, at least it's beatable, eh? Challenge.
Yeah, that's true, but the biggest and most interesting thing is that we've mentioned it's a lot like Shinobi, it's also a lot like Bionic Commando in the fact that you have a grapple arm,
And I have to say, when I saw that, it was a bit of a wow moment for me because it seemed incredibly smooth, responsive, fast. The animation was nice. Reminded me of the Ninja Rope in Worms.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely got that swing-based mechanics
that,
as well.
And momentum.
That's where I was drawing more comparison, to be honest. I've played a bit of Bionic Commando and Game Boy Game, but not to the extent that I've played Worms. And it did have that kind of almost Belmont-esque jank to the whip in the same way the Ninja Rope does, so you could just flick around corners and then your ninja would land and then you could throw shuriken all in one smooth action.
Really effective. And the way the ninja guy moves, it's like a step up from the previous generation of ninja type side scrollers.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like Ninja Gaiden or Shinobi.
To be honest with you, like, it was interesting. Yesterday I was playing it and I was just like, well, Ninja Gaiden Shadow on the Game Boy. Like, a lot of people gave that game a load of shit.
So also, Blue Shadow, I think, has a grappling hook.
Blue Shadow is Ninja Gaiden.
Okay, Blue Shadow on the NES, I'm talking.
Yeah, yeah, but Ninja Gaiden Shadow is a port of Blue Shadow, hence the Shadow.
There you go.
And it was, it was canned and they changed it last minute. Even the bosses are the same bosses as in Blue Shadow. And I
didn't realise it was a port. I thought they were... Well, of course they appear differently because one's been slightly changed to be a Ninja Gaiden game. Yeah,
yeah, but it was supposed to be a direct port. I think even Nintendo Power reviewed it as such and then they changed their minds last minute.
I remember in that Blue Shadow start off on a boat.
Yeah, but there's lots of bits of it. Or is it Blue Shadow? Yeah, it's definitely Blue Shadow. I'm sure it is because the game on the Game Boy Advance called Return of the Ninja is a spiritual sequel to both of them, I think.
Right, fair
I'm
enough.
I'm going to Google
fair
that
enough.
Quickly. But all in all, I'm pretty happy.
You'd recommend
it, to be honest. I think it's a pretty damn good game. I'm quite surprised.
Just a shame it's so expensive, really, isn't it?
It definitely is. And unfortunately, Konami being Konami, I doubt you're really going to see that released anywhere else.
Yeah,
the game I'm thinking of is Shadow of the Ninja.
Shadow of the Ninja, not Ninja Gaiden Shadow.
Ninja Gaiden Shadow is Shadow of the Ninja.
Not Blue Shadow.
Not Blue Shadow.
Blue Shadow's another game.
Blue Shadow
it's not another name, Shadow of the Ninja.
No, it isn't.
It's very confusing, isn't it?
Oi, oi, oi. Too many ninjas.
Yes.
But yeah, indeed. Pretty damn good game, actually.
Okay.
Highly recommend it.
I'm glad you came round to that, because it would be terrible if you'd have dropped that amount of cash and then really disliked the game.
I mean, I still would have played it. I still would have beaten it. And I would have critically reviewed it. But no, I'm actually quite enjoying it. I can't wait to actually get home and play a bit more.
Ooh.
Well. Yeah.
That says it all, really,
well,
doesn't it?
Like I said, I have been playing some other Game Boy Advance games, and you will probably hear me prattle on about Game Boy Advance games, so I picked up quite a few good ones yesterday, but I'll talk about that in a bit. What was a cheap game for the Xbox 360 you were playing, Thomas?
I was playing a game which I've long been curious about, which I always see for dirt cheap.
One you've mentioned on this podcast picking up previously? Question mark?
Did I?
You did.
Did I mention it?
You did.
So I picked up Dark Void for the Xbox 360.
Dark Void.
I think
it's
also available on the PlayStation.
I think so. What you gonna do when he comes for you, Dark Void?
Okay, so Dark Void has a unique selling point of you get to fly around on a jet with a jetpack.
You do!
In a similar fashion to The Rocketeer, so that's a good start. For anyone who ever wanted a Rocketeer, the game,
yes,
then this is probably... Other than the
NES one.
There's two in there, NES and Super Nintendo.
Yes.
But this is probably the one which will probably give you the Rocketeer thrills the most as you start the game. It pretty much throws you into it. And you're flying around in your jetpack, third-person perspective, shooting down alien spaceships.
Yeah.
And, it's all very exciting and good first impression. It controlled well. It's sort of, you could brake with the left trigger, fire with the right trigger, accelerate, you know, like you'd expect from like a third-person... flight-based shooter. Then it all kind of changes. You get a little bit of a introductory cutscene where it established a sort of time period that would be similar to that of The Rocketeer. So it's ticking these boxes. You seem to be hauling cargo.
Yeah.
You're not playing the same character you played at the beginning, it wouldn't seem.
No.
And there's a storm and your plane crashes. Your co-pilot dies, but there's a woman...
Does he?
Or does he? Yes, it would seem so. But this woman you're with survives. I forget what she's doing. She's your navigator or something.
Well, it was generic hero man and protagonist lady of mystery.
Yeah, I have to say the facial animation was very nice in it. They're very expressive, the characters were. Yeah. And the voice acting was good, albeit for some sound problems. I was playing it on an Xbox One, so I think that was down to the emulation.
Yeah.
The voices were quite fuzzy. Yeah, overall it does look a little bit rough around the edges, but that doesn't affect the gameplay in any way. I wouldn't say it's the best looking 360 game.
Not by a long shot.
No. But look over the kind of murky textures and patches of the game which come across as very dark. It can be difficult to see what you're doing in the first level. So you're wandering around in a sort of jungle. There's a few Aztec kind of ruins littered around the place.
Felt a bit Uncharted to me.
It does feel a bit Uncharted, that's right. Your main character is that kind of guy as well.
Yeah.
Like Nathan Drake. I don't know his name. They don't really establish...
I can't remember his name.
Maybe they mentioned it.
Alan. Let's call him Alan.
There's not a lot of time spent on story. It kind of just throws you in.
Well, like in the first 5 minutes of you playing it, other than you flying around and lots of people voicing over and chipping into your navigation of, oh, we should be flying this way, shooting this thing. There was like, hey, we're on a plane. Oh, God, that guy we introduced you to 2 seconds ago is dead. Isn't that a shame?
You bump into a dude who's wearing a similar outfit to your character at the very start of the game. When you have the jetpack, you know, you think there's some connection here. And he's looking out for you, he's protecting you. He gets shot within a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then you get split up from your female friend.
Yeah. And conveniently after you put on the radio going, hey, just in case we get split up.
Next thing you're doing is shooting robots in a third person, like Gears of War cover-based gameplay.
Yeah, in a kind of weird, like, Contra to Probotector way of like, hey, we're going to do these really violent, like, kill things, but it's robots, so it's like sparks fly out.
You know, it's incredibly generic. If you imagine generic third-person action game, then this is it. This borrows from all of the greats, as I say, Gears of War. But it does it very well, you know. It may be simple, but it's incredibly, defective. I meant effective.
Yes.
Very effective and enjoyable. Firing the guns is satisfying. They've got suitable kind of kick to them. You're fighting the same sort of enemy over and over again. There's these robots that are running around. They're quite tough initially to take down, but soon you pick up more weapons and such. If you'd like a good third-person cover-based action games, we get to do lots of shooting.
Yeah.
Then this is great. But what I want to see is some more jetpack action. So I'm hoping pretty soon you'll get the jetpack again. It did do something incredibly unique where you were sort of looking down a chasm and you had to climb down there. So you kind of locate the next ledge and then you'd look down and press X to jump down to it. Otherwise, you'd just fall to your death if you hadn't selected it first. But little alien, the robots pop up. So then you're kind of like at the shooting range, so you're looking downwards. So your angle totally, the perspective of the game totally changes. And that, I thought, was quite unique.
Yeah.
So you're actually shooting downwards while traversing the side of this cliff face.
The way it looked actually reminded me of the box art of a 360 game called Fractured, which I can report actually that Airtight the Games, the people who made this, did not develop.
Well, who made this game?
Airtight Games.
Airtight Games.
They are no more, unfortunately. Oh. Their releases were Dark Void was the first, then they released Quantum Conundrum, which is a game co-developed with the woman who made Portal, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Then they released a game
called Pixeled and Derp Bike for iOS. Then they released a game for the OUYA called Soul Fjord, which is apparently a rhythm roguelike game, a mixture of Norse mythology and 1970s funk. And Murdered Soul Suspect, which is
a terrible
game not worth mentioning on this podcast.
Okay, Dark Void, on the other hand, copies other games rather well and is well made for them, from what I've played so far. Enjoyable. Well worth the 20 kroner, couple of quid that I paid for it.
For 20 kroner, I can't really say much about it.
I'd say it's worth more than that. I'd say this is, you know, if you could get it for 10 quid even, I think
I wouldn't go that far. My opinion of someone watching you play it while playing a very enjoyable game was, this looks very generic. I was super interested when you were flying around in the jetpack at the start.
Yeah.
And then it turned into the most generic-ass third-person cover game I've ever seen.
When you expect... when you play one of these games, you expect there's going to be something wrong with it. Like, the camera's going to be horrible. The control's going to be stiff. There's going to be all these little issues with it. But there's nothing in there so far that is jarring at all. It is all incredibly familiar.
Yeah.
But very smooth and well put together.
I mean, it didn't look bad. It just didn't look like it did... Yeah. Anything really
special. But good first impressions, other than the flying. You know? Especially if you want a game where it's not messing around, and you just kind of get playing straight away. If you want story, a lot of story at the beginning, then you might be disappointed. But if you just want to shoot robots,
I'd be super happy with a third person like shmup where you're flying around as a rocketeer, though.
I imagine there'll be more of that. And if I do spend some more time with this game, which, you know, based on what I've played already, I'm pretty sure I will do, then I will let you all know what I think.
Cool.
And right now, if you see it for a couple of quid, don't avoid it. Even though it is a little bit dark in places.
Even though it's devoid of good textures. Anyways, I might pick that up, though, for 20 kroner. That seems pretty decent, especially as it's backwards compatible.
Yeah, that's the point. That's a good point to make. But yes,
so many games backwards compatible on the Xbox One, Dom. It's almost as if there's no new ones.
If these games that are emulated do have these defects, I want to try this game on a 360 and see if the speech does get muffled and fuzzed up. Yeah.
One would assume I have the 360 to do that with, so I will have a look.
Have to check that.
Maybe we'll have a look at it for a TMA quickie. Who knows?
We're making a lot of promises about these
videos. We are. Well, we would have recorded one today, but unfortunately my in-laws are in town. So, yeah, we're podcasting. We didn't mention from Tom's coffee table again. Fun and games.
You're getting more comfortable here now, Matthew.
No, it's all right. You know, it's a nice walk. Catch some Pokemon on the way. It's all right. I was actually going to do the math and try and figure out like how many kilometers I still need to walk.
Oh, more math.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it now because I've not got that. Oh, maybe I can do it on the fly. Maybe I can, but I'll talk about it in a minute. Getting some creatures, doing some evolving, getting closer to that goal that seemed so insurmountable. No, though my phone battery is starting to. I'm having to actually use a portable charger most of the time now because my phone is 3 years old at this point almost and is starting to die under the strain of running Pokemon Go.
But there's a plethora of Pokemon around at the moment, isn't
there? There are a plethora of Pokemon around. I have 15 Mr. Mimes at this moment, which is supposed to be like the rare European exclusive Pokemon.
Mm. But it's not rare anymore, is it?
I catch like four of them every time I go bloody running now. It's just ridiculous. Anyways, other than that, I went to a car boot sale yesterday.
All my troubles seem so far away.
They did, in Herning, which is a place here in Denmark. I went with my girlfriend's dad, actually. He is interested in flea markets and stuff, and a few times I've gone in Denmark on a Saturday morning here in our hometown. He would come with me every now and again just to have a look around, and I've been to one or two in Hungary with him, incidentally. Mm. And he was like, oh, big flea market, because he speaks German as well as English, and flea market is flea market in German. I was like, yeah, I said it's pretty big. I said it's like four halls, and he wasn't expecting it to be as big as it was, and he was quite blown away by the amount of stuff, and he's just like, oh, such stuff, and just like getting really excited about, there was one stall in particular, that was it's always there, it sells like, you know the stuff you see in like Shell stations or Esso garages or supermarkets that's promoting something, like these massive like one-off display things?
Yeah.
They had loads of stuff like that, and there was some cool things there anyway, but there was lots of things of
advertising
engines.
Biscuits.
Not biscuits. like engine things.
Engines?
Yeah, but my girlfriend's dad's a mechanic. Okay. So it was like split, like cut engines in half. With like
for a store, like a garage to show you,
buy this new Nissan, look at this amazing engine it's got. And the amazing thing was, they were just engines on blocks, and he was like, oh, he goes, yeah, that's this engine, that's this engine.
Oh,
wow, I remember working on those. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I was there for video games, as you might expect, and
no, didn't.
I picked up a shit ton of them, Tom. I'm not going to go through them all.
You picked up how much?
A shit ton, which is a metric unit for 16 Game Boy games and about 7-8 Game Boy Advance games, I think. Oh, and a nice red SP, a color variant I didn't
have.
Have
a red one,
and it was a fiver, so I was like, okay, cool, that'll do. Right.
It's like a metallic red, isn't it?
It is a metallic red color. It's one of the last like straight up colors I need, I think, that was released in Europe at least before I start having to go down the wonderful road of limited edition and US consoles, which is not going to happen anytime soon because, A, there's a load of fakes out there now, so I like to actually find these things either in flea markets or game stores so I know they're legit, and B, they're getting silly expensive and I don't really care that much. But the games I did pick up were...
Gary Ball's Extreme Skateboarding.
Gary Ball's Extreme Skateboarding for the Game Boy Advance. Now, I picked up a... Like I said, I picked up 16 in total Game Boy games. Two Doraemon games, two Gundam games, about four or five pachinko and card gambling games, just because they were in this box. It was like 8 for 100 krona.
Okay.
A copy of Micro Machines 2.
Oh.
The very rare Scandinavian label, which I was just like, okay, you've clearly just thrown all of your Game Boy games in this box, so I'll take that.
It's great that you find Game Boy games.
Yeah, unfortunately, things. It'll come in handy for a Secret Santa gift I need to give to someone, so that's all good and good. Yeah, Metabots game, the version I didn't have, because Metabots started life as a Pokemon clone on the Game Boy. A rip-off of the Game of Life and a case-closed game, which is Detective Conan. Oh, and another... Oh, man, there's a Koi, as in Koi Tecmo, game called Animal Breeders.
Oh,
right. Oh, and it is the most shameful rip-off of Pokemon.
Animal Breeders.
I have ever played.
It's got a catchy title.
Unfortunately, it's in Japanese. I'm going to look to see if I can find it in English. Mm. And I really want to play the first like half hour with you.
Is it as much as I think, you know, so you have a team of little animals and you fight
you
other animals?
You start in a house that is the exact same circumference almost as Ash's bedroom, with a TV with a games console in front of it. You go down the stairs and your mother's there, and then you go out and you go to the gym and you get a Pokemon thing. It's fucking awful.
And you fight them.
I didn't get that far. I literally was just like, well, I can't read what they're asking me to pick from you, so I'll have a look online.
What were the designs like?
Designs of the Pokemon things, not very good.
Okay.
Some might say. But I picked up some Game Boy Advance games as well, so I'll quickly jump to those. They're a bit more exciting. Sims 2 Pets, of course, are the most exciting game I picked up yesterday, which was in the Game Boy Advance, otherwise I would never have taken it. No, it's actually a spare, so if you really want a copy of the Sims 2 Pets, Tom, I can sort you out.
I don't know how well The Sims translates to Game Boy games.
No, me neither. it was Army Man Advance. I quite like the Army Man games, surprisingly.
You know, I've never played one.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
My mate Matthew, back in the day, was super, super into them on the PS1. And I'm not referring to myself in the third person, just so you're aware. He was a super obsession with like military-based games. We had Army Men and Shell Shocked and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's all right. I thought I'd give it a go. Guilty Gear X on the Game Boy Advance, which you have. And I should have picked up Boxed a couple of months ago when I said to you, hey, there's a copy of it here for like £4. Asterix XXL, which is a remake of the Super Nintendo Asterix and Obelix game.
Isn't that the 3D one? Oh, that's the DS one.
Yes, that's the DS one.
Super nice 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? No, wasn't it a Game Boy Advance? It's in 3D. And that was the amazing thing about it. The fact that it was 3D run on the Game Boy Advance.
Maybe.
Have you not tried it yet?
I've not tried it yet.
I think that's the one, because there's a developer who did a lot of this pushing the hardware.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure, though, this is a remake. But I could be wrong.
There are a couple of...
There's a lot of Asterix games on the Game Boy Advance.
There's two on the PS2 that I know of.
Yeah, I'll have a look. Looney Tunes game, Magical Quest 3, which is a Capcom Disney game, mm-hmm. which I'm very curious to try out. Muppets Pinball Mania. Because, you know, nothing says pinball like the Muppets. And Lady Sia. Now, I'm just going to quickly list off the other stuff I found as well.
What's Lady
Sia?
Such as
this very nice box
Advance.
Copy of King of Fight, King of Monsters.
Super Nintendo King of Monsters box, German.
Yes, it was only released in PAL territories in German. I would have picked that up for myself, but I know our good friend, the Retro Hunter, is after it for his complete Super Nintendo box collection, so... I'm very cordially letting it go to him. I also picked up Duke Nukem Time to Kill and a copy of... Time to Kill.
On what?
On the PS1.
I bought Zero Hour for the N64. I don't know if they're both third-person adventures.
Yeah.
I think.
This one was in a charity shop here in Byland, and I also picked up another copy of Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha. Because I love that game so very, very much, and it was like 2 krona, and I thought, well, I will give the gift of Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha to someone in the near future, because that game is amazing. Fortunately, it didn't have a manual, neither of them did, but yeah. Hmm. Anyway, I was playing Lady Sia
What is that? I recall
Lady
that
Sia name. Is a THQ action platformer.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
That is Western developed, but looks in some regards like a Japanese game. And I, at the time of my Game Boy Advance coming into my hands, I only really had Castlevania Circle of the Moon. And then I bought Mega Man Battle Network, and Lady C was the third game I picked up because it had glowing reviews from the time from Official Nintendo Magazine. Unfortunately, my copy of Lady C actually had a weird glitch in it where I couldn't get past the third level.
Oh, that's weird. So,
yeah, and essentially I just then ended up...
Here it is. Yes, I do recall this game.
...being a scumbag and trading it in to a local video game shop. And that was the last I played Lady Sia, but it's been one of those games that I've always been looking for since. And recently I saw a few box copies, but they were in like the 20-25 quid bracket, and I was like, I don't really want to pay that. I'm sure I'll come across it. It seems pretty common.
Quite a lot of fan art for it on the internet.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure if you're doing a Google image search without Safe Search, you're finding
I'm not finding anything risque yet. But yeah. Yes, there is there's a lot of fans game.
There is a reason there are a lot of fans of this game, Tom, because it's bloody good, and it's actually a hidden gem for the Nintendo Game Boy Advance. One that I never, ever see mentioned in any of these videos.
I do remember seeing it reviewed back in an old N64 magazine.
It's great. Was it
one of them?
There will perhaps be a lot of text in there for your liking, but the platforming's top-notch. The animation is absolutely beautiful. Like, any time you complete a level, like you kind of, like, you turn and flick a sword and put it in your scabbard on your back. And
okay, it's fairly inexpensive.
It's very inexpensive, which is why I'm going to buy a box copy before
For a tenner?
Yeah.
There's one on eBay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's really not that expensive, but any time I've happened to see it in the wild, it's been, like, 20-odd quid, and they're overcharging for it, so I've never picked it up. But it's one of those games that's on my list.
Okay, I'm going to play Spid on that.
You should. It's a good game. I played it all morning. Like I said, maybe a bit too much text, but everything else in that game is top-notch. Both the animation, music's pretty good. It's a bit spotty at first. You go, oh man, the music could be better in this game, but then it gets really into it, and it almost kind of reminds me a bit of Donkey Kong. So I wonder if there's some lineage there, because I'm pretty sure it's a British studio, but I could be wrong. It could be American. Okay. But all in all, super happy with that game. I'm going to upgrade it to a box copy because I genuinely do really enjoy it. Okay. And I did before I hit that weird glitch way back when.
Yeah, was it just that copy you had, or is it a known glitch?
No, it seems that way. I looked on the... That's the only reason I found out, was because back in the day, there was a walkthrough on GameFAQs, or GameFAQs to us British people. And he was like, oh, you jump on the bird. And I was like, but there's no fucking bird. And so I restarted the game a couple of times, and I kept just getting to this point where there should be a bird on a perch that you then ride and do a flying section. And the bird was missing. The only criticism I have of the game is because it can be a little bit obtuse with its, like, there's a symbol for button mashing, and in the manual for the game, it will tell you, hey, you need to mash A whenever this happens, but it doesn't say A on the screen. So you just have to mash all the buttons and try to figure out what's happening, and sometimes it doesn't even feel like it's responding, so then you start mashing everything else.
So it's not perfect, but it's still very good.
It's not perfect, but I mean, very few things are. Very few things can be of the level of enjoyment of, say, Ninja Cop, which is now perhaps my biggest like for enjoyment on the Game Boy Advance. But it's a damn good game, and it was very much overlooked now, I think. But hey, so it goes. Anyways, over to you.
I've been playing Forza Horizon 2, according to my note here that was typed on a tablet. Yes, it's auto-corrected. Forza Horizon 2 to Forza Horizon 2.
It's now, okay. When I was talking about Lady Sia on Twitter earlier, it auto-corrected it to Lady Asia.
Oh, my. Yes. Matthew's looking for a glass in the cupboard. It's not that way. It's the other way. The other way. That one. There you go. Yes, Forza Horizon 2. I hadn't played this yet. I picked it up, actually a few months ago now. It was 50 kroner in a bargain bin at our local supermarket. And having liked the first games was a no-brainer, especially for that price. And wow, I mean, I expect it to be good. It feels a little bit easier to get into than the original, you know. Maybe it's because I play the original. I know the setup. I know you've got this event, this Horizon event that you get invited to, and then you can take on these different races. And in that game, it was all set around, I think, something like Colorado or somewhere like that, an area, you know, out in the outdoors. And this one's set in Europe, so you've actually got a lot of variety. You start off in one place, and you get a plane, you go to another place. You know, the event keeps moving around Europe.
Okay.
But it's one of them open world racing games where you drive around and you find races to do, and then it's really nicely presented. Graphics are fantastic. It's very summery.
Okay.
You have to see its intro. You know, it's very. It's quite epic. You know, it counts down to 10. This woman's doing a voice that's counting down to 10, taking all these wonderful imagery. It's all live action of cars and dancing and just
sounds very Fast and Furious.
And then you're in there. And actually, the presentation and how it eases you into the game is incredibly successful. It's not bogged down with too many cutscenes or anything. You get racing pretty quick, you know. Any game which gets you to the gameplay as soon as possible is good in my book.
Yes.
So it's a fantastic game, and it's great to play a summery game in a time of the year which is totally the opposite.
Yeah. I saw a great meme yesterday that's completely incidental. This conversation said, you know it's cold outside when you go outside and it's cold. That's pretty much my feelings of Denmark at the moment.
But it makes you feel warm, and it gives you a good sort of buzz. It's very up feeling, good soundtrack, and 3 radio stations you can listen to while you're driving. And they have a good variety of music on there that's suitable. You know, it's suitable for racing. What more can I say about it? It's got a guy who I recognise from a TV show in it. He's the main guy. He's organised the event. He kind of talks you through what to do next. And he's like meant to be the best guy, you know, the best racer.
Okay.
But he's sort of playing it down a bit. But it's obvious that near the end of the game, you're going to have to race him.
Okay.
He's going to be the guy to beat. Also does that drivatar thing that for other Forza games do. So when you're racing against other drivers... Yeah. They're using the AI that's been learned from your friends and how they play the game.
Okay.
I quite like that idea because it makes it a little bit more personal. You know, you feel more accomplishment if you beat a friend of yours than if...
Do you have a lot of your friends have played Forza Horizon 2?
Four.
Yeah?
4 people I know.
Okay.
Playing that, 4 or 5 actually. So it's cool to be able to do that. And then occasionally you'll get a chance to fight a rival, and the rival will be one of your friends, one of your Xbox Live friends.
That's kind
of
cool.
And so you can beat their time, go, ha-ha, and then they can beat your time. And I think the game will let you know if they're beating you or you're beating them or whatever.
I've always wanted to get the Fast and the Furious and just trying to figure out what the character was. There's a Fast and the Furious spin-off, like a standalone version of Forza Horizon 2 that you can buy that was a tie-in to the 7th movie, I want to say.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
I can imagine the two would go pretty well together. Another great racing game that I've been playing, which we mentioned last week, is Need for Speed Most Wanted on the Wii U.
I also picked this up.
You did?
I did, yes.
You said you didn't have any?
No, I said I got the last copy.
You got the last copy. And have you played it yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance.
Do you like Burnout Paradise?
Yes, I do. You were like, hey, it's Burnout Paradise. I was like, okay, maybe I'll buy it.
It is. I was chatting to my girlfriend about it because she's got it on the PS3. And yes, essentially it is the same gameplay as Burnout Paradise. There are a few differences. It's not quite as sunny. It doesn't quite feel like as upbeat as... Okay. But it's a bit more gritty.
Set in like a desert, right, from what I remember.
No, you're in a city.
Okay.
You go a little bit outside of the city at places. Yeah. But the thing about this game is you've got police there that makes it obviously different from Burnout Paradise. Also, the presentation isn't about it, so summery and a little bit more fun. It's a little bit more, a bit more edgy, I guess. Not overly so. But the police do add a lot to it. There's certain moments where you get to fight one of the most wanted drivers. There's about 10 of them.
Yeah.
You get so many points, you get the option to race
Wasn't that a thing in Underground as well?
Yeah, I think so. Because, see, this is like a reimagined version of Most Wanted, the original. Actually, I'm not sure how many versions of Most Wanted has been. I remember the one on the Xbox PS2, but whether or not there was another Need for Speed game.
I remember playing it on the 360 because it was a launch title.
Yes, it was. But the thrill of doing one of these races, because these courses take you right through the city and over jumps and such, and at the same time as trying to race your rival, you've got the police chasing you as well.
Yeah.
It's incredibly exhilarating. I have to say that when I first started playing it, I could not keep the car in the straight line.
Okay.
I had to readjust myself to the handling of Burnout you know, type handling. Because I, you know, Forza's pretty easy for me to pick up, but this took a little bit moment to get used to it again. So you may find yourself, when you first play it, crashing into a few things. But
great, because I'm as I'm known for on this podcast, I'm super into racing games. I'm super into intuitive control, so...
But you'll soon get used to that, I think. And also, it's got a weird thing in this game that makes it different from Paradise, is every car gives you so many races. So you start off in a car, then a certain car.
Yeah.
And then you do like 10 races or 5, I forget. You do them, and then you can get another car, which has another so many races associated to it. Okay. The cars themselves are just littered around the world, so you just bump into them. I made a mistake of, I was on the route, set a waypoint to go to a race.
Yeah.
But then I bumped into the car and thought, oh, I'll just change car and use this one. Of course, you can't, because it doesn't have the same races associated with it.
Oh, okay.
So you have to remember that as well. But it's got the familiar Burnout Paradise things, like breaking through billboards and breaking down fences. And there's quite a lot of that explorative
aspect.
How's
the radio?
The radio, honestly, I can't remember what the radio is like in the game. It didn't leave an amazing impression
on me. Shame.
It's not like Burnout Paradise in that respect.
Be
I don't
a good
think.
Podcasting game then, I guess. Just listen to some podcasts and drive some cars.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. But it's got a real... It's nothing like it on the Wii U.
No, of course not. I mean, because EA sent their dev kits back after they developed it, so...
But it's actually probably, I've heard, the most fully featured version of the game available, because it used all the extra stuff that was downloadable on the other formats.
Yeah.
So it's probably the most complete version of the game. It looks great on the Wii U. You've got to remember this was a 360 PS3 game, so it's not going to look like the next gen. It's not going to look like Forza Horizon, but it still looks very good and plays amazingly. If you want a game like that, you've got a Wii U and you want a good racing game with cars and not carts.
So you're telling me, essentially, this is much like Batman's Arkham City Armored Edition, the essential way of playing Need for Speed Wii U.
I don't know what to say to that, because I've never played it. What, has it got a bad reputation?
It's got a terrible reputation. I'm just like, look, sparkly armor.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, okay, but I bought into it. You convinced me.
You can do something with the gamepad as well.
Yeah, you're not driving with it, right?
No. In fact, I actually didn't like driving the car using the gamepad, to be honest. I preferred using the classic controller, because it just feels better for driving games. The other thing, the triggers aren't right. It's a bit long. I didn't like it. But the second player can press buttons on it, and they can turn off the traffic. They can switch it to night from night to day. They can influence your game on the gamepad.
So you're saying I can give this to my girlfriend, she can fuck around.
And she can fiddle around with stuff while you're driving if she wants to. But I didn't see much fun in doing that, to be honest.
Can you fuck around, like properly fuck around with the person driving? So can you like change all the
traffic?
I think
you can put more cars in, you know, like, and or take cars away and
Weird.
Like traffic, you know,
turn
the traffic on and off. So you can, you could essentially fuck with the other player, yes.
Okay. Maybe that
sounds filthy.
Yes.
Great game.
Cool.
And pick it up if you can find it.
Becoming increasingly harder to find. Though, like I said to Tom, Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it was, they had, when I bought the copy for you, they had about 5 of them, and then I had the last copy. So I guess people are probably cottoning on to the fact it's there for cheaper and then probably just buying up copies and throwing them on eBay.
Maybe they are.
Which is a shame, but hey, so it goes.
You been playing anything else?
Literally nothing.
Well, I played some more of Woolly World.
Yeah.
That game's surprisingly big.
Yeah. Took us a while to beat it.
I was playing again with our friend Toby Brown yesterday, and we finished the first world, but we're playing it all afternoon.
It's like 5.
And got through just one world.
I think there's 5 worlds in it altogether.
Because there's a real incentive to collect all the items in the level, isn't there? It's like, oh no, you missed one yarn ball. Let's just do it again. You know, more is like the yarn, because you get the extra Yoshi for that.
If you feel that now on the first world, you're going to hate it when you come to like the fifth world.
Yeah.
Some of those are really, really hard to find. Yeah. And some of the levels are like auto-scrolling, so you've got to make sure that one of you goes up the top while one of you stays down the bottom, because there's 2 bits of yarn that you need to collect pretty much at the same time.
Okay.
Ooh la la.
So, you know, it's a good challenge, and it's a very fun multiplayer game. We got a little bit stuck on the first boss because we weren't sure how to kill it. It's got a little bit of yarn on its belt.
Yeah, you got to lick it,
and
right.
you have to pull its trousers. You got to pull the yarn so then it loses its trousers. Down, yeah, it was quite funny. But for ages, we couldn't work out yet to do that. But yeah, great game. Can't get enough of that.
Yeah, it's damned good.
Another great reason to get a Wii U. If you haven't already,
I think
there's
so.
There's a load of great games for it.
Actually, continuing my theme this week of playing ninja-based games, I did actually play Ninja Spirit for the Game Boy, which would be the next biographic.
Ninja Spirit.
It is an IREM arcade game from 1988 that was ported to the Nintendo Game Boy by the fine folks at Bits. It's also available on TurboGrafx, which I believe is the version available on the Wii U store. Pretty damn good game. TurboGrafx version a bit better than the arcade version, because the arcade version's got this wonderful, wonderful, hey, I'm going to suck the money out of you feature of, hey, when you get hit once, you die. Fortunately, the TurboGrafx and the Game Boy one have a TurboGrafx and Game Boy version, respectively, which allows you to get hit like 5 times, which is a lot more helpful for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also when you get hit and die in the arcade version, you go back to the start of the level.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's great. Real good fun. So, yeah, notoriously difficult game, but looks beautiful on TurboGrafx and the arcade. Game Boy version is a pretty accurate port, though it screen tears like crazy because obviously it's trying to replicate something that's on a much better system. But yeah, it's pretty good. Only released in Japan and China, though. But find out more about my views later in the week.
We'll look forward to it, Matthew. Another beautiful looking game that I got a chance to play yesterday was Abzu.
Yes.
Okay.
How was it?
I wasn't sold on it whatsoever. In fact, Toby had been saying that she didn't like it, the controls.
Yeah.
And they frustrated her. And she finished it, but she didn't like it. But she couldn't stop playing it.
But you're totally fine with it. Because our good friend Mandy was just like, I think it's fucking brilliant.
No, I just thought, well, what's the point? You know, I was playing it and I thought, well, this looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So I was asking Toby, what do I do? Well, you swim around and you find the exit, you sort of explore. You can talk to the fish, sort of, and get them to follow you. You can ride on the little... What's the point of me grabbing hold of that fish and riding on it? I don't know. You can do it if you want to. It's like... But it's like... It gives you this world, which is big, that you can explore.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of just do what you need to do to get through the level. Usually it involves finding some little mechanical creatures which follow you and enable you to open the door to get to the end of the level. I was playing thinking, oh, there's not really much to this. Oh, it looks amazing. It's a great tech demo for the PS4.
Yeah.
There's a bit where I was going through swimming through a shoal of fish.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds of fish on the screen, each looking amazingly sharp. The visuals were... It's like, wow, it's amazing there's a console that can pull this sort of thing off now. And I think because it's so stripped back in the graphic, the imagery, the graphics, that you really do appreciate what all the depth of what's going on. You can, it's not so detailed. You know, it's got textures all over it and stuff. You know, you think, wow, it's amazing, looks like real life. But this, because everything's stripped back a little, and it's still impressive. It's quite amazing. But, okay, so I kept on playing it.
Yeah.
And I got used to the controls pretty well. You know, I needed to play inverted because that's how I play things. That's and swimming inverted makes perfect sense to me. And, you know, you hold down a button to move and you hold down another button to kind of swim faster. You grab onto the animals if you want to with another button. I didn't really see the point in that. But I just didn't want to stop playing it. I was progressing, you know. There was some sort of puzzly elements to it, like I had to collect the little mechanical things where I could interact with something on one side of the level and pull this chain through so that half of the door would open. I had to find the other side of the level, and there was another one that I had to pull that, and then I could go through to the exit. Music's great. It feels like a movie. It's got a really orchestral soundtrack, which makes it quite epic feeling. It really suits the game. And yeah, I just really enjoyed playing. It wasn't that much to it, but I liked being there in that world.
This is what I've heard.
And there was a very smooth progression. You know, it was never jarring. It was kind of like, it just pushed you through gently. It gave you a little nudge, you know. It pushed you through this beautiful world. And It was, I have to say, quite relaxed. I sort of zoned out as I was playing it. There's nothing real intense about that game whatsoever.
Actually, it's very therapeutic.
It is, and it's got this kind of storyline going on. Toby was trying to explain it to me. He said there's not much of a storyline. I've seen something about this shark. There's this shark that you seem to be following.
Yeah.
And as you go through the world, you see these ancient kind of carvings in the walls as you go through these underground temples. You see there's a bit of history with your character and this shark.
Okay.
And I don't know. It develops, I've heard. But I'd say give this game a go. I'm not bored it myself yet. I'm actually waiting for it to come down a little bit and for it to be on offer.
It's like £20, right? Or 15.
Yeah. As soon as it is on offer, you know, PlayStation Plus discount, whatever, I'd like to pick it up. I'd like to play through it. Apparently it's about 4 hours of gameplay in
there. Okay. I'm curious. Dare I say, Thomas Parry, using a phrase that we've not used on this podcast in almost 2 years, would you say this is an indie darling?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd say if you have a PS4, because I think it's PS4 exclusive, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
That this is one of the defining games of the PS4.
Okay, interesting.
I'd say because it does something incredibly different. It feels very unique in its stylistic approach and is a great example of hardware being used to create something both artistic and very graphically impressive.
Well, there you go. Pretty high praise from Tom Parry. Yeah. Okay, what else have you been playing then?
What else have you been playing?
What's going to top that, Tom?
Whoa. Well, you know, it wasn't like, it was just nice. Yeah. You know, but I really appreciated it. Worms, Destiny, Pokemon Black, the usual that I probably say every week.
Yes.
Also, I bought a couple of things. Now, I hadn't bought anything at all this week.
Right.
Until just before you came over.
Neither did I until yesterday, where I was just like, rah! So,
I haven't felt desperate need to be buying new games at the minute at all.
No, it's almost as if there's weird political stuff going on in the world that makes you question games, at least for me, which is why I didn't
that
really...
hasn't affected
really?
Me in that way, I wouldn't say.
It did
say.
For me, anyway.
The importance of games.
Yes, and the importance of... playing stuff when there's that shit going on.
Well, they're the great way to, if you're concerned about the current state of politics, especially those in America, then playing a video game is a good way to get your mind off it if it is truly bothering you.
Yeah, but I got game fatigue from doing it, of trying. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I did buy two things. I bought Clive Barker's Jericho for the PS3.
You're going to be solely disappointed. This is a terrible game.
Ah. Oh. Well, you know, on the strength of me kind of liking the Clive Barker type stuff, I thought I'd pick it up for £3.
Might be too much.
£3.
It's really not a good game.
I did actually, back in the day when I worked at Game, we could borrow games. That was an official thing. That wasn't underhand or anything. That was like, we were allowed to like borrow a game as long as we brought it back. I played this game. I can't remember thinking it was bad, but I didn't play it for long.
Bought it, took it back before game stores got arsy about you returning games.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't very good.
Okay. Well, there you go. I picked it up. I also picked up TMNT. This is the game based off the movie, the Animated Turtles movie.
Yes.
I bought it for the 360. It's available in other formats, PS2, Wii.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to get the 360 version because I thought, well, that's probably the best one.
Yeah.
The hardware's better.
Yeah, it seems so.
I like playing stuff on 360 because it's easier. I don't really like playing games on the PS2, I have to say. I've never had any sort of real attachment to the PS2. It's the console I have the most games for, but the experience of playing on the PS2 is not as pleasant for me as it is playing on Xbox.
Or even
there's a
PS1.
Number of reasons.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of feel the same now I'm thinking
fundamentally. Yeah, it's the saving thing's awkward. You know, you need space on a memory card, first of all.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. I really don't know what it is. I mean, the visuals are a little soft, I think. I
can't really put my finger on it either.
Yeah. Playing stuff on PS2 isn't one of my most pleasurable pastimes.
No, mine neither. Like, even when I had the console, it was one of those reasons where, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out and I had an Xbox 360 and I started playing. I was like, got Call of Duty 2.
Like, yeah. I think it's also these menu systems now, because on Xbox you've got that sort of, you can pull yourself out of the game, you've got a menu. I kind of like that. Even the Dreamcast had some. Even the PS2's got a menu, but it's not like it's.
Well, no, I mean, it's like browse and like network, right? It's your two options.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's some great games on PS2.
Oh, undoubtedly.
There's no doubt about that. But I'd probably like to play them on another console if I had the opportunity.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, more often than not, I did anything that I could get for the GameCube, I got for the GameCube instead. And then later the Xbox.
The Xbox. I think the original Xbox was the place to play the games of that era. Rather than get the PS2 version, it was always for me, Xbox version. Every time. It's just a much better experience.
Same with the GameCube, actually. Yeah. Like Time Splitters, if I would have bought that on PS2, which is where I first played it. Mm. Probably wouldn't have been as sold on it as I ended up being.
Yeah, also, I guess you need a multi-tap.
Yeah, exactly. I played it one-on-one on like a 32-inch screen, and it was all right, but I mean, it wasn't the four-player frivolity of the GameCube.
Be interested to hear what you guys think about that, because in my opinion, it's probably the worst format to play games on that era.
Yeah, probably. I would agree. Yeah, but if you have any... opinions on that, tweet us at TMAcast.
It's quite a controversial one, I suppose.
Perhaps. I mean, you know, one of the biggest selling consoles of all time, but doesn't necessarily mean it's the best one, right? I mean, the Wii is the biggest selling console of all time now, and I don't necessarily think that's a very good console to play games on either. Just saying. Got a lot of good games. Can't really fault that.
Yeah, you've got a lot of good games. For me, it was my newest console for a time before I got my 360. Yeah. Actually, and so I spent a lot of time on the original Wii.
I did not. I spent a shit ton of time on the 360, and then later when I moved to Denmark, PS3. Mm. But
now it's been consumed by my Wii U, obviously, because everything was carried over.
It's true.
So it kind of lives within my Wii U. So it's a weird situation you got.
Alternatively,
now,
enjoy playing games on the Wii U.
I like playing games on the Wii U.
Yeah,
a lot.
Me too.
Yeah.
Highly underrated console.
Whoa, here we go. We ending it on that?
Well, I think so, yeah, because you've got to Skype and I got to go home when it's dark.
Well, we've run out of things to talk about.
Terrible evening. Well, yeah, I guess so. And we'll just end on the most controversial note we've ever ended on with the whole thing. Two American listeners, hope some of you got what you wanted. Apologies to those of you who didn't. It seems like a pretty rough situation, but, you know, we're not here to talk about politics,
we're
here to talk about video games, and as long as you guys are okay, we're okay as well. So, if you are okay, and if you have enjoyed listening to the podcast, you can find us before next week in a variety of places. You can go to our Twitter, which is at TMAcast. You can go to our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TomMattAttack. And you can leave some comments there about how blasphemous we are about the PS2. And you can also
don't hate the PS2.
We don't
Let's just
hate
say
the
that
PS2.
We don't hate it at all. So there are better options.
Exactly. That's the name of this podcast. There's better options. Anyways, you can also listen to this podcast in a variety of places. I assume most of you are probably doing it in iTunes, in which case a cheeky rate and subscribe is highly appreciated. But if you are looking for somewhere to listen to it at a computer, say at work, you can listen to it on a few things. This is how tired I am this week. I apologize. I'm not doing my spiel
as
at 90
we started,
miles an hour.
It was sunny.
It was,
and
it was
now it's
dark
gone
and depressing.
Dark.
And I'm just staring into that window like I was last week, not really seeing my reflection, but just seeing the cold, dark air outside. You can go to TomMattAttack.com and listen to it there. You can go to BlastProcess.com, and yeah, you can also listen to this in Stitcher. Yeah. I am looking into the Spotify thing. Seems a little bit complicated in terms of how you submit your RSS feed, but once that is a thing, I will let you all know on Twitter and Facebook, etc. Yeah. Cool. Right, you go to Skype. I got to go home.
I think
so
you got to go
call
and play
this,
some
podcast.
Need for Speed, you.
I'm going to go home and play some Ninja Cop. Can't lie. Anyways, until next week, though, everybody, game on.
Game on.